Welcome to Shamish Baptist Temple. We'll stand and we're going to start off with a word of prayer. Brother Beavers, would you open us with a prayer?
You know, Father, thank you for this opportunity to be here tonight. Thank you for this great day in church and church family. Prayer our hearts tonight. In our life, pray all that Jesus did. Amen.
Amen. So I'll take the hymnal. We'll turn the hymnal to you.
Thank you. It's good to have some visitors with us tonight. It's good to have Pam Quinlan with us. She went down to be with her sister and ended up getting hung up down there. And I thought they were going to keep her. We were going to have to go after her. But she made it home, so that's a good thing. And then it's good to have the Fosters back. I guess you got Jared delivered. Does he have a job? And he's enrolled? Wow. That's three quarters of the battle right there. Awesome. Pray for Jared. And then Brother Branson will be leaving towards the end of the month. And he's the big senior, the big man on campus. And he better enjoy that because he'll be getting married just after he graduates. So he better enjoy that for a while. But anyhow, well, it's true. And you pray for him. It's good to have Dad with us tonight, Brother Richard. You've got them all home. I'm telling you, he sent a picture of little Richard Leon two nights ago. And that kid's hair, I mean, he looks like he's kindergarten or something. He's got hair, there's no doubt about it. And handsome kid. Glad he's taking after Mom, and so that's a blessing. It's good to have the Travises with us tonight. Brother Travis, would you mind standing? Just tell us where you guys are at in life. Amen. And they just dropped off a son. Does he have a job? Good. Man, this is great. Because that means school bills will get paid. So that's a blessing. I used to sit as board of directors for 12 years, and there would always be this list that they'd read of kids who were behind on their payments. And first thing I did was skim that list to see if a Met singer was involved. So I got pay up right now. Let's get that name off there. But anyhow, it's good. It's good to have the Travises with us. And they're on a quick trip home. Otherwise, he'd be preaching tonight. But when they come back, he told me that he'll get in touch with us and be back to preach for us. And I'm really excited about that. All right. Jeremiah chapter 32. Jeremiah chapter 32. We started this lesson back, was it last week? Last week. And it turned into a two-part lesson. We're in Jeremiah 32 and 33. The title for this is Promises About Israel's Future. And chapter 32 is a big chapter. And chapter 33 then is a small one. But so we're on the process of, I'll give you the outline, give you the verses, I'll read a few of those verses, and then you can go back home and study a little more and read a little more and, you know, study those verses out and so forth. But if we were going to do it verse by verse, like I like to do a lot of it, or even section by section, we'd be a month or longer just on these two chapters. So Jeremiah chapter 32, let's go to verse number 26, and I'll read from there, and we'll get started. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? And if you're an underliner in your Bible, there's a great one to have underlined. Is there anything too hard for God? And we would say, no, nothing too hard. No matter what it is that we will face in life, God can handle it. He can take care of it. Verse number 28. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will give this city into the hand of the Chaldeans and into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall take it. And kind of leaves me with the idea that if God didn't want them to take it, they couldn't take it, right? Because that's the truth. Verse 29, And the Chaldeans that fight against the city shall come and set fire on this city and burn it with the houses upon whose roofs they have offered incense unto Baal and poured out drink offerings unto other gods to provoke me to anger. And so he's going to purge it. He's going to purely cleanse this town just because they have been offering to other gods. They've been offering to Baal. These Israelites have forgotten their first love, who should be God. They have followed after the gods of the land. And so God said, I'm just going to purify this thing. I'm going to burn it to the ground. For the children of Israel, verse 30, For the children of Israel and the children of Judah have only done evil before me from their youth, for the children of Israel have only provoked me to anger with the work of their hands, saith the Lord. For this city hath been to me as a provocation of mine anger and of my fury from the day that they built it, even unto this day, that I should remove it from before my face. Because of all the evil of the children of Israel and of the children of Judah, which they have done to provoke me to anger, they, their kings, their princes, their priests, and their prophets, and the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and they have turned unto me the back and not the face, though I taught them, rising up early and teaching them, yet they have not hearkened to receive instruction. But they have set their abominations in the house, which is called by my name, to defile it. Lord, we love you and we thank you for the opportunity tonight to be gathered here in your house and to worship you. It's our prayer and our desire that you would meet with us. And Lord, we realize, and as every time when we come to a portion of Old Testament scripture, we recognize that this is still very applicable to our lives tonight. There are things that even the first statement that we read, the second verse here tonight, how it applies to our life and our relationship to You. So God, we'd ask that the Holy Spirit would take Your Word tonight and use it in our lives and our hearts and draw us closer to You, that we might serve You in a greater way, that You might speak to us, and You have Your will done. We love You and we thank You. Thank You for the Word of God that we can read and study and take and apply to our lives and use it. We love You for the fellowship of a local New Testament church. We love You for traveling mercies that You provided to those that are here visiting tonight and those that have come home. We just thank You for that. Have Your will and Your way in our lives and our hearts, and we'll give You the honor and the glory and praise. We ask these things in Your blessed name. Amen. All right, so we're on the third point. So the first point was Jeremiah is persecuted, chapter 32, 1 through 5. You'll remember that they imprisoned him in the courtyard of the royal palace, and so he was imprisoned there. Second point was that Jeremiah makes a purchase. In Jeremiah 32, 6 through 25, God commanded him to buy a field. We talked about the fact that that was a picture of the fact that God wasn't done with Jerusalem, that they would be coming back. And so He tells Jeremiah, go and buy a field for testimony that you'll be coming back. And so He even tells him to pay 17 pieces of silver, and Jeremiah does that. And he's to take the deed, the title deed to the land, and put it in a pottery jar, thus signifying that someday all the land of Judah, now worthless because of the invading Babylonians, will once again become valuable ground occupied by Jewish people. And so I lead us to our third point tonight. Jeremiah receives promises. Jeremiah receives promises. We're in chapter 32. 26 through chapter 33 and verse number 26. So it's about God's omnipotence. Verse number 26, He says, I am the Lord, the God of all peoples of the world. Is there anything too hard for Me? Is there anything too hard for Me? And I'm thankful that that's our God, that we can turn to Him in our time of need when no one else seems to be able to make heads or tails of the situation we find ourselves in. We have God to turn to. And that could be a health issue. It could be a financial issue. It could be, like I'm afraid we might experience in the upcoming months, an America issue, the land that we love. But we know who is in charge. It's God. God has always been with His people. We just need to trust in Him. B under this is about God's objectives. 32:27 through 33:26 is where we'll spend the majority of the time here. He must punish His people to purify them. They had lifted up their gods. They had made altars to their gods, Baal and other worship like that, and they had forgot the one true God. So the punishment, what Israel's done against God here in 32, 30 through 35, and they rebelled and disobeyed. They sacrifice to idols, and then we see what God does against Israel in 32:27 through 29, verse 36, and in 33:1 through 5. He allows Jerusalem to be destroyed by the Babylonians. You'll remember, just a few chapters before this, Jeremiah stood and he's told the people, look, Nebuchadnezzar's coming as a judgment from God. He's going to destroy the land. What you need to do is you need to go out and surrender. And the people are like, what? Go out and surrender. He said, if you'll go out and surrender, it'll be better for you than if you stay and fight, because this place must be destroyed. And so then like a chapter after that, we find out that God pronounces the fact that those who surrendered, they'll be coming back much sooner than those who fought for their land and for their rights. And those that surrendered will be coming back. Isn't that a great picture, by the way? A surrender, if we surrender to God and not fight against Him, that He will bless us. And that's why He's promised His people, after 70 years, you'll come back to the land. God will make you prosperous. It'll produce like never before. But those who fought, you're going to stay longer out there. Your punishment's going to be worse. You should have surrendered. to God. You should have been willing to surrender to Him. And so the purification that's going to take place, Jerusalem is going to be knocked down and destroyed by the Babylonians. And then there's the war and famine and disease and all that goes with this. God is going to bring upon the land Jerusalem. And sometimes I wonder, as I read the headlines of our papers here in America, if God isn't already releasing some punishment on America. I know that we're not necessarily His chosen people, but we have been a Christian nation that was greatly used for His glory, and we have slowly walked away from God. Generations before us began it, and our generation has continued it, walking away from God. And I see the things that are happening in America, and I think God's wanting to get our attention, just as He did with His people here. He wants to get their attention. He wants to purify them and get them back on track. And so the purification is chapter 32, 36 through 44, and then chapter 33, 6 through 26. Israel will be regathered and restored. That's a promise found in 36, 37. They're going to receive a new heart and mind to worship God, chapter 32, 38 through 39. And I think that's something that we ought to regularly pray for, that God would give us a heart and a mind to worship Him, that He might be our number one objective in life. You know, when we're young, it's easy for us to think, well, I want to earn a lot of money. I want to drive a nice car. I want to live in a big house. I want this, 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 and this. And it would be far greater for us to have a heart and a mind to worship God. A heart that would say, you know, I'm just going to trust God for whatever He gives me. And whatever He gives me is totally His. Totally His to do with whatever He wants. And I give Him my heart and I give Him my mind that He might regenerate me, that He would transform me to be in His image. And so it's important for us to be willing to have that new heart, that new mind, and to seek that from God, and then to worship Him for what He has done and given to us. Then our third point here is, but God be given an everlasting covenant. And so God's dealing with His people. He wants to give them an everlasting covenant. That's seen in chapter 32, 40 through 42. Matter of fact, let's just read that one real quick. It says, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts that they shall not depart from me. Yea, I will rejoice over them that do good, and I will plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul. Thus saith the Lord, like as I have brought all this great evil upon this people, so I will bring upon them all the good that I have promised them. And so God is saying, look, I want to establish this everlasting covenant, but it's amazing. He's going to have to take these people and He's going to have to break them down. He's going to have to purify them. He's going to have to get them to where they want to seek God. They want to turn to Him. They want to forget all the false gods of this world, all those false gods that they've been worshiping, that He's going to break them down so that they'll recognize God is God and God alone is God. And He is our God. And so He's got to break them down. He's got to make them pay for the sin that they've been a part of. The fourth thing we see is they're going to experience great joy and singing. Great joy and singing. I'm sure that the people, as they heard this, they thought, what do you mean we're going to have great joy and singing? This is laborious. This is hard. I'm leaving my homeland. I'm going to go to another country and live. And I'm leaving all this behind. I've got to go someplace else, and I'm going to have joy, and there's going to be singing. Isn't it amazing, as you serve God, if you put Him first in your life, that even the difficult times can be times of rejoicing? You know, like in January this year, Cindy's dad passed away. That was a very hard time, very difficult in our family, but it was also a time of rejoicing, because we know where he is. He's in heaven, amen? And one day we're going to be with Him again. And so it's a time of joy and rejoicing. People of the world, they look at you like, what, are you psychotic? Do you have, like, you know, are you schizophrenic? And the answer is no. I just have great faith and a great hope in a great God. And I know that this life doesn't end life. The end of this life just begins real life. Amen? And for all of eternity, we will be with Him. And so they're going to experience great joy and great singing. They're going to enjoy great prosperity. Chapter 32, 43 through 44. And then chapter 33, 6 through 9, 12 through 14. They're going to experience great prosperity. Isn't it amazing as we give what God would require of us, a tithe, and then we give of an offering on top of that? People would say, well, you're never going to end up with anything if you do that. If you give all that money to the church, well, how do you ever expect to have any money? I can't explain it, but God does it, right? I'd rather have the blessings of God rather than the money in the bank account. I'd rather have God taking my little and blessing it over and over and over than have a bunch of numbers in a bank account that they'll probably seize eventually because they got to pay off the student debt or something, you know. But we can enjoy great prosperity as we keep God at the forefront of our lives, as we honor Him with our substance. And then finally, they're going to be ruled over by the Messiah, the Son of David. What a great promise. We know that Jesus is coming soon. I wish it'd be tonight. Boy, that'd be a great thing for Him to come tonight. And we never want to lose sight of the fact that Jesus is coming. These people here, the Jews that were being led away, they're in captivity. They're going to be reminded, look, Jesus, the Messiah, is going to come. He's going to rule. He's the Son of David. He's all that we have thought He would be. He's coming back to rule and to reign. And He will rule and reign. I can't wait. All the moronic stuff we're putting up with in our world today, He's going to come back. He's going to put it all right. All the hatred that's being shown towards Christianity and Christians today, it'll all be made right. Because God's in charge. We just need to trust Him. And that is our hope. Lord Jesus, we love You tonight. We thank You so much for the truth of Your Word. And I pray that we take it and hold it dear in our hearts. Lord, that we might seek to walk with You, to know You, and to serve You. And I pray that when trying times come in our lives, that we would be willing just to trust You, put our hand and our faith in You, and walk with You, allow You to lead and guide, that, Lord, we'd ask that You'd remake our minds and our hearts that we might worship You as we ought, to elevate You and to exalt You in our lives and our living. And thank You for Your many blessings. For this time together this evening, we ask these things in Your blessed and most holy name. Amen. Would you stand with me? We'll have a moment of invitation. If God spoke to your heart, we'd encourage you to come. We're going to pay we're going to sing Jesus Paid It All.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength in thee is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thy all in all. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain.
Come with our prayer requests.